those two songs that we just sang, the story of my life. Our great Savior. And how can it be? I still look back on my life. I wonder, what if I never got saved? Where would I be? I never forget where he found me. I never forget what he did for me. And I'm never going to forget where he's going to take me when it's all said and done. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 16 and 17. And like Brother Perry said this morning, I will try not to go so fast. I will try to slow it down a little bit. If you're there, we will be reading verse 16 and 17 in Jeremiah 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house tonight. And Lord, we are thankful that we're gathering around your word. And we pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts, our spirits, and our souls to receive your word. You speak to each one of us, Lord, in a very unique way. And each and every one of us would get something from this message to carry away to live better for you day by day. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor being home. And we pray for continued comfort to him and his family and continued healing, dear Lord. Get him back on his feet and get him back behind the pulpit doing what you've called him to do. Again, Lord, thank you for your word and the truth that it brings. Bless it to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight's message is the old paths.
Amen.
You ever heard the old phrase, everything old is new again? And there's nothing new under the sun. And every 5 minutes, new and improved, new and improved, new and improved, new and improved. Well, what about the old stuff? Every 5 minutes, new and improved Bible, new and improved, more accurate, new and improved. But who are they comparing their new and improved Bibles to? They're comparing it to this old Blackjack 66. 1611 King James Bible. New and improved. New and improved. No, that's not new and improved. Stay with the old path. Stay with the book. When I got saved, preacher handed me a Bible. First words out of my mouth were, what's this?
Really?
He says, it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's good enough for me. It was the King James Bible. And that's good enough for me. I didn't know no different. It's the Bible. It's God's word. It's perfect, preserved, inerrant, infallible, no errors. Satan continues to attack this book,
yes.
Continues to dig and motivate men to study and study and study and try to find errors in this book. Mm-hmm. They will never find one.
Nope.
This book has no errors in it. A perfect God wrote a perfect book for his people. If this book is not perfect, then God isn't perfect. Would God write something that's not perfect or a lie? No. It's the old path. The old path. Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Two familiar verses. Verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired this book. God wrote it. He inspired it for us to be used, to be as a tool. It's profitable. That means it's worth something. It's priceless. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is the bedrock of your faith. Doctrine. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Inspirational preaching is good, but where's your doctrine? Where, if your doctrine's on the old path, you're good. Colossians 1:14, in the new versions of the Bible, they take out something very important. Blood. King James Bible says, in whom we have forgiveness, even the forgiveness of sins through his blood. Every new version of the Bible takes the blood out of that verse. Why? Simple. If you can earn it, why did he have to die? If you can keep it and then lose it, then there's no power in the blood. But I'm here to tell you right now, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Power to wash away your sin. That's why the new Bibles attack the virgin birth, they attack the blood atonement, they attack the second coming. These new Bibles are, no better sense of the word, garbage. This book is the standard. This book has been attacked since its very inception. The devil does not want you reading this book. He wants you reading anything else but. Are commentaries good? Yeah, they're good. But when it comes right down to it, this comes first. It should come first. It always should be first. The Bible is pure. Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Seven is the number of perfection in your Bible. If you do any study about where you got your King James Bible from, you'll find the number seven is very prominent in the development of this book and the King James translators. It's very prominent. I think I'm right when I say that this is the seventh translation that was honest. This is the seventh one. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. Seventh. I've been wrong before. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Preserved. Perfect. Inerrant. Infallible. Your tool to fight the daily fight and walk the Christian walk. Without this, you're defenseless. Never, never, ever abandon this book. This book is your Swiss Army knife in all matters of spiritual. It is your Swiss Army knife. And it's all your final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Problem with man is he doesn't like the old paths. He likes to call his shots. He likes to be his final authority. He's a rebel. I know that from personal experience. The book also has power. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Your king wrote this book. Your king gave you this book. Your king expects you to use this book. Be wise. Be smart. Be biblically literate. Know your Bible. It should be studied. This book should be studied. This old path should be studied. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, study, study. Now, I know teenagers are like, study? Oh, come on. No, study. Study this book. It's important. It is the most important book in your life. How are you going to get to know the author if you don't read it and you don't study it? This is a love letter written to mankind. Amen. Guys, gals, when you were seeing your significant other and you're writing those notes and you're sending them back and forth, and you read them and read them and read them and reread them and read them until they were basically falling apart in your hands. Why? Because you wanted to get to know them. You wanted to get to know them. You wanted to get to know him. She wanted to get to know you. You wanted to get to know each other. How are you going to know your Lord if you don't read his letters? I know when I was seeing my wife, we were courting, I read every single letter she ever wrote me. She read every single letter that I wrote her. We still have them. And every now and then I get them out and I read them. And it reminds me how deeply I am in love with her. And she does the same for me. Don't you think your Savior wants you to read his letters to you? This is part of your old path. This book is part of the old path that the world doesn't want you on. It would rather have you any place else than the old path of this book. Read this book, get to know this book. Get to know your Savior through this book. It's to be meditated on. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Read it morning, noon, and night. Read it every opportunity you get. Study it. Read it. Going through stuff and you see something. This book is a living book. I don't know how many times I've read this, and I've read a passage, and I know I've read it like 15, 20 times. I'll go through, I'll read something, and something will catch my eye. Like, I never saw that before. That's the Holy Spirit of God going, hey, wake up, look at this. Study this out. What about this? What about this? And it should be that way with everybody. The Lord will open your eyes on things that you've read over and over and over again, and he'll reveal new things for you. Stay in this book. Read your Bible. You probably heard that about a zillion times. Well, here's a zillion and one. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. The most important thing this book does is it reveals the Savior, your Lord. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus Christ talking. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This book reveals your Savior to you. This book reveals what he did for you, what he's doing for you, and what he will do for you. This book reveals him as the Savior of all mankind, what he did for you on the cross, shedding his blood, going to an empty tomb, rising 3 days later, ascending to the Father, and he's just ready, willing, and able to come back and take you home. If You've trusted him as your Savior.
Right.
If you're under the sound of my voice tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Do not hesitate. Jesus Christ can come back before this service is over.
Right.
Once the church is taken out, you're going to be going through the tribulation on earth. 7 years, hell will be on earth. And then the second coming, the Lord comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. If you don't want to go through the tribulation, if you want to go to heaven, this book, and anybody in this room, any Christian, will take you aside and take this book and show you how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can make your home in heaven with him. It reveals Jesus Christ to us, who is the Word of God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, a certain cult, who shall remain nameless, Jehovah's Witness, this is how they translate that verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. That's blasphemy.
Yeah.
That is absolute blasphemy. Jesus Christ is God. Period. End of story. They can translate it any way they want. It does not nullify the truth of this book. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Born of the Virgin, lived a sinless life, ministered, was betrayed, was crucified, died, buried, and rose again. God did that. God raised him from the dead. The second old path. Godly music. I'm not a musician. I can't even tune a fork. I'm not a singer. I can't carry a note in a bucket. But having listened to secular music before I got saved, and having listened to Christian music, primarily out of hymnals, I'll take them in this. Thank you very much. Godly music exalts God.
Amen.
It's been said that the book of Psalms is the songbook of the Bible. Godly music that exalts God, Psalm 21:13. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. God is to be exalted through music. The two hymns that we sang before service, before preaching, that exalted God. Our great Savior. Our Savior is great. He is the only Savior of mankind. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood?
Yeah.
That exalts God.
Yes.
That's part of the old path. Godly music. Godly music is to point and exalt God. Not the singer, not the player of the instrument. It's to exalt God. None of this plastic Christian Hollywood holiness stuff where they're prancing around the stage and swallowing the mic and singing off key 3/4 of the time. A pet peeve of mine, contemporary Christian music. Contemporary Christian music has done more to damage kids than anything else. I'm talking kids in the Christian world. I would ask you to do due diligence. Go through your contemporary Christian music artists right now. Look for some things. Look for a testimony. Are they saved? Look where they go to church. Do they go to church at all? Bible. What Bible? I dare say that you will find very few of them. There are some. Don't get me wrong. I love good, old-fashioned gospel bluegrass. That's a godly message. But you got to watch out with music. You have to watch out. I've read several stories in preparing for this message. I've read several stories of contemporary Christian music artists that have, I'm not a Christian anymore. I'm done. Well, I was never a Christian. I was just doing it for the money. God help that. God help that. Just God help it. Look and research who you're listening to. If they don't have a testimony, if they're not in church and they don't read their Bible, what are they doing? They're singing music with a couple of religious words in it and calling it Christian. Who is it exalting? Who is it magnifying? If it's magnifying and exalting the performer, you don't need it. I thoroughly enjoy people that come up here and sing specials. It thrills my heart and it touches my heart. Why? Because they're doing it with joy, and they're doing it because they're moved by the Spirit of God in the song that they're singing. And it's not about them. It's about the message in the song. Contemporary Christian music, again, it's done more to derail Christian teenagers and young people. Be careful, Christian teenagers, with what you listen to. Be very careful. What seems to be godly on the surface may not be inward. Be very careful. The music is played with instruments and skill. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to walk it back. And it gives him glory. Psalm 86, verse 12. I almost skipped one. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forever. Godly music exalts God, gives him glory. God should be the only one getting the glory from the music. Man was created to have fellowship with God. Man was created to give glory to God. In singing, in congregationals, and in special music, the glory and the glory alone should be going to God. Period. Satan, or formerly known as Lucifer, if you read your Bible, was the anointed cherub that covereth. He also was the choir leader in heaven. Read a description of that guy. He had instruments built into him. Now, if anybody should know anything about music and how to twist it, it would be Satan, Lucifer. It was said that music is a religion that can preach any doctrine as long as the tune was right. Music is very... interesting in the fact that it can stir emotions.
Right.
It can stir emotions of joy. It can stir emotions of sadness. It can stir an emotion of anger. It can stir many emotions. All one has to do is listen to World War II German marching music. And you feel like you want to go conquer Poland again. You can listen to a love song and cry. You can listen to a lighthearted song and have joy. But the bottom line is, music was created to give God the glory and to give him the praise.
Amen.
We are instruments in the church, in his service, and each one of us, we are designed to give God glory and honor and praise through what we do for him, well, when we fellowship together, and when we're singing congregational songs. Sing it with all you have. Does not the Bible say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord? I make a joyful noise to the Lord. And it's a tool that God created, but it's also a tool that Satan perverted. Use music for God's honor and glory and praise. It's one of the old paths. With music, there's instruments, and they should be played with instruments and with skill. Psalm 33:2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. I love listening just to instrumentals. I love listening to Dale play. I love listening to Anna play. I just love listening to good, godly hymns, instrumental hymns. It's a gift. Brother, that's a gift you have that I can never have. If you've got a gift for music and you know how to play an instrument, by all means, do it for God's honor and glory and to give him praise. Nothing more, nothing less. Do it for him. It's a gift he gave you. Use it. Use it. We should be singing with joy. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You ever been just doing something at home and, like, you know, you're out there working in the garage, you're wrenching or something, and all of a sudden this song, you know, and you just start singing this song, this hymn out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And why does that happen? It happens because God stirs your heart. You know, I'm out there in the backyard and I'm dinking around doing something, and I start singing a hymn, and next thing you know, neighbor comes over the fence and he's, "Oh, it's you." "Well, yeah, okay, yeah, everything's fine. I just wanted to know who it was." He heard me singing a song, a hymn, from this book. I don't know if the guy's saved or not. All I know is he heard me. Maybe it stirs something in his heart. Who knows? Who knows? But we're here in the church and we're on a work day or something, and the guys are together, the gals are downstairs doing something in the kitchen, and you start hearing singing, that's because they're enjoying the labor, they're enjoying the work, and they're singing with joy. I've been to some churches where it's just like, "Oh, I'm going to sing another hymn. Oh, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me." No, 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 no. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sing it with joy.
Yeah.
You should have joy in your heart. That joy should come out.
Yeah.
Through your actions, through your attitude, and through your mouth and singing to a lost and dying world. Challenge. Go to the store. Pushing your cart down the aisle. Pick a hymn you know by heart and just start belting it out. Watch people's reactions. What? It's fun. See people do a trying to figure out where it's coming from. And it's an interesting case study to see how people react to things. We are to worship the Lord with our music. Psalm 66. We're going to go verses 1 through 4. To the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Music in the church is an important part of worship.
Amen.
It should not be ignored. It should not be belittled. It should not be marginalized. It should be an anchored part of worship. This book, first, music, congregation, workers working together in unity for a common purpose, to honor, glorify, and magnify Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Through your witness, through your testimony, through your life. Worship, I don't want to use the phrase. We don't have worship teams. Thank God. But what we do have is we have a very biblically oriented music program. And that is something that is a blessing to me. Because I've been in some churches where it's a full tilt rock band and the fog machines and the whole nine yards. That's not the old path. That's way over here. And God, he's not anywhere near that. Music, it should be in Christ-centered worship. Psalm 95:6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Music is designed for worship. Music is designed for praise and worship and honor and glorify God. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I've been to some churches where they weren't worshiping God, they were worshiping the man behind the pulpit. That is dangerous. That is very dangerous. When it gets to the point in a church where it's not what does God say, it's what does the pastor say? That's dangerous. The pulpit should be no higher than the pew. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
The old path, part of that is walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily walk. Galatians 5, 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's a struggle. The Apostle Paul, he struggled with it daily. Romans chapter 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin it was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained of lot to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that I do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then the law, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing in me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There you have the Apostle Paul. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Struggle, 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 struggle. You know, life would be beautiful if it wasn't for this.
Yeah.
But it's a daily struggle. The old path, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Not the flesh. It's so easy to default. Bang. No. Don't do that. Walk in the Spirit. We are a peculiar people. They should know that. How come you never get mad? How come I never see you say a cuss word? How come I never... There's an open door.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Christian. Let me tell you about the Savior. But I'm preaching to myself now. It's a struggle. Every day it's a struggle. Life would be beautiful if it wasn't for other people. Yeah, it would be. But unfortunately, we are where we are. And as we strive to walk in the Spirit, let's also strive to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. The world is so full of hate. The world is so full of anger, wrath, malice, and strife. We ought not to be going along with that, church. We ought to be showing them love, the love of God. We ought to be showing them the mercy of God. We ought to be showing them the grace of God in our life through an example, with your living testimony. Lifestyle evangelism. Yeah. You can go and you can spout this book off cover to cover. But if your walk doesn't match your talk, people are going to look at you and go, huh, Christians, yeah, and write you off. This must match your walk. The world has enough plastic Hollywood holiness Christians to shake a stick at. They don't need any more. This church needs to be unique. This church needs to be a good example to this community. And not only to the community, but also through supporting our missionaries and to support each other as we strive together to do the work of God in this church. That's the old paths. We're to walk in wisdom. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Your talk. The world's looking for hope. Yeah. They won't tell you that, but that's what they're looking for. Give them something that is the ultimate hope, Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. Give them a reason to accept the hope of mankind by getting saved and having their sins washed away. Your witness, your testimony, your walk, your talk, that will be a tool that God could use to win souls that would be to his honor and his glory. I'd rather be a scoop shovel in God's toolbox than a wine cork in a bar. I'd rather be doing right. I'd rather be doing what he told me to do. Not for me, for him. I mean, we're to walk circumspectly in this old path. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In the Bible, circumspectly means to walk or live with great care, caution, and wisdom, being mindful of one's surroundings and actions. This involves not being foolish, but instead wisely redeeming the time by understanding God's will and avoiding the dangers and temptations of the world. It is to call It is a call to deliberate and vigilant living that aligns with God's word. They're watching you. You may not believe that, but they are. And what they're watching for is they're watching for you to mess up. So they can have an excuse to write you off, but more importantly, to write off the Savior. Don't give them that excuse. Walk circumspectly. Walk in the old path. Stay on the old path. Stay true to your Savior. Stay close to your Savior. And always be looking up, awaiting His return. Brother Mike Nemeth, you want to dismiss us in prayer?